Before we get to some of this stuff, you know, Blues players testing positive and any of the return to play or CBA stuff, I want to ask you a question. I know you host the ESPN Hockey podcast with Greg Wyshynski, who's also a regular on our station. And on your Twitter account, at Emily M. Kaplan, you usually post, I guess, a rundown of the show, which us in radio, we're very familiar with show rundowns and lineups and stuff like that. And you use lots of colorful, I guess, permanent type markers. And I guess I want to ask you kind of a twofold question. Your fascination with using those kinds of markers and having varieties of colors, where did that kind of start? And how do you not smudge the paper writing with it? Because that's one of my biggest problems with permanent marker is ending up smudging. And you seem to have mastered it where you never smudge.
Wow. Well, thank you for beginning with such a hard-hitting question. I think I'm ready for to be honest, it's one answer for both of your questions, and it's Sharpies. Sharpies are my secret. They are really fun to write with. They make my handwriting look so much better than it actually is. I can't explain why. It just does. My friend actually sent me all the colors in the mail. I used to just do black and blue. And, yeah, they just don't smudge. So if you're looking for nice, clean handwriting that's fun, I cannot recommend Sharpies enough. I really hope I get endorsed with them or something.
For sure. Like, I would say that based on the publicity of the Sharpies, because we see them in pictures, right? It's great advertising for them. And yeah, there you go. Maybe there's a new spokesperson for Sharpie, and it's Emily Kaplan. So yeah, I wanted to start with that. And now we'll get to the less hard-hitting stuff, which is, you know, before we get, I guess, really to the specifics of what the return to play in the CBA and everything that goes into that, I want to start with this news that the Blues had a couple of player positive tests and a coach test positive as well. And I guess, obviously, that's news. But the bigger deal for me, and I think for a lot of people, is hearing that they were at a bar in Missouri with other just general population. And it seems like that started it and it spread. And to me, that's really, when it comes to all sports, is placing trust on athletes who, generally speaking, have the freedom to do whatever they want, like all of us do. And I wonder whether they're going to consistently be able to do the right thing and withstand some of the temptation of going for a beer or going for this, especially in Canada, over the course of 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, you know, I have not reported that that's the case with the Blues. They tried to figure out some. That was the St. Louis Post-Dispatch's report. So, but this is all just reports right now. I don't want to say that's exactly what happened, but I do think this points to the larger issue of what's about to happen with the NHL. We're about to gather all of these players who have come from all over the world, and a lot of them are coming to American states where, guess what, this coronavirus is not going away at all. In fact, we're having a lot of cases spike. I know you and Canada have done a much better job of keeping it at bay. And in phase three, which is training camps, we're not going to have a bubble environment. Guys are going to have the freedom to do what they want, whether it's go to bars, whether it's go to grocery stores, whether it's hang out and have their neighbors over for dinner parties. And I do think because they're under more team control in phase three than they have been in phase two, teams will be able to better say, hey, guys, you've got to keep this together. You've got to be as safe and responsible as possible to make sure we can get this thing going and get the Stanley Cup tournament. That said, these are all human beings. They're all adults. They all make their own decisions. And like it or not, even if you're not going to bars, there's a chance you can contract this virus because it's just living with us. So I do think the NHL is in a really precarious spot right now. I find it really interesting that they're not doing, a bubble environment for these training camps. But in my, reporting and what I understand, this is something that, was probably pushed to the players early on. Hey, do you want to do bubble environment for training camp? They said absolutely not. Weeks passed. We didn't realize we'd be in the situation where we are now, but that's where we're at. And when these players approve it, that's what they're expecting.
I kind of on the same lines here then, Emily, but we saw yesterday over in baseball that players like Felix Hernandez and David Price even had been opting out, saying, and Price had said he didn't feel like it was safe for him and his family. And I totally 100% support that. I feel like a lot of people will support athletes who are making the decision to keep themselves and their families safe. But as it pertains to the NHL, do you feel that perhaps, similar to how there's a kind of a star factor to players like Hernandez and Price, do you think it'll just take one or a couple star NHLers to express the same sentiment before the ball gets rolling in terms of players saying, you know what, I'm going to sit out this NHL restart?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a star power thing. I think to this point, we haven't heard any stories of players specifically that are going to opt out just because they've been kept into the dark to this point of what the protocols are going to look like. So they can't envision their life and they haven't been able to make that decision yet. But once they get this vote and they see, hey, this is what it's going to look like when you get to Toronto or Edmonton, you're going to get some guys to say, hey, you know what? This just isn't for me. And, you know, I've talked to some agents, I've talked to some GMs. There's rumors around the leagues of guys who are already thinking about doing it. I don't think it's going to be a massive wave of guys. I really don't. I would be shocked if we don't get at least one or two guys. And the reason they're going to choose is for health, family, or personal reasons. And what's great about what the NHL and NHLPA decided is if a guy decides he doesn't want to go, he doesn't have to give a reason at all. And there's going to be no recourse or penalty. They'll say, you know what? You're still in good standing with the team. We get it. We're doing a one-off. We're in a global pandemic. We'll see you next season.
Emily Kaplan's with us from ESPN. And so I don't know if this is necessarily fair, but for some reason, hockey players seem, of all the leagues, to be maybe the least likely to sit out. I don't really know why that is. I just feel as though, for whatever reason, I can't see as many NHL players. I'm not saying it's going to be zero, because I imagine maybe a couple do, but not maybe to the same extent that we have seen and probably will continue to see in Major League Baseball and the NBA. Is that fair, do you think, in some respect?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And, you know, I think part of it is just hockey culture. It's the way these guys are wired, you know. They never say I. They say we or you. They never want to, you know, make themselves a story or do something that's not team-oriented. So that culture is just so pervasive that I do think it would carry over to something like this where guys have to decide they're going to opt out. That said, like you said, I do think there probably will be a couple, maybe a handful of guys who do opt out. And you know what? For whatever their reasons, like you said, I think we'd understand it.
Then how do you feel, and you kind of touched on this a little bit already, Emily, when it comes to players getting back to their markets, and we're looking at players, how they have to deal with the with COVID-19 in the States versus how they have to deal with it up here in Canada. And how is the Canadian options, the all Canadian options of Toronto and Edmonton as the hub cities, being looked at south of the border? Is that being lamented as some kind of loss for U.S. hockey, or is it kind of being understood because of how the coronavirus has been has not necessarily been treated all that great so far? Hopefully it gets better soon, but not necessarily right now.
Yeah, you know, we're such a divisive country. It's hard to kind of sum up all of our thoughts in one. A lot of people that I talk to, though, you know, I do think it's indicative of saying, hey, you know, the U.S. didn't control this virus as well as the Canada, you know, as our neighbors up north did, and therefore, when health and safety is the priority when we look at this tournament, we got to go where the health and safety is a priority, and that's in Canada. You know, I do think some people in the Las Vegas market feel like they've been dragged into a smear campaign. You know, they never asked to be a hub city, and then all of a sudden the NHL says they're going and then pulls out because then Nevada has a spike of cases, and they're like, whoa, that's, you know, not being fair to us. You know what? That's exactly what happened, though. Like, that's the reality of it. And Nevada has had to see the spike of cases, and they did open up their economy very early, and they didn't have widespread must-wear mask laws, and look where they're at. So I do think, you know, opinions are all over the map, but if you talk to most people who have a good head on their shoulders and are reasonable, and you say, if health and safety are the priority in this tournament, it makes 100% total sense that Toronto and Edmonton were chosen as these hub cities.
Emily Kaplan is with us. And I feel like Edmonton got this reputation from some, like, reading it. And I'm sure some players were probably like, ooh, I don't want to be in Edmonton. Like, what's there to do in Edmonton? Edmonton's not a fun city. And I just thought, even if Vegas didn't have this spike of cases, were players going to be sitting out by the pool at hotels and, like, out on the strip? It never really made any sense. Like, Toronto, sure, great, vibrant city, multicultural, incredible city. It's our home. We love it, but I never really understood the hub city should just be about, well, can you pull the bubble off in the safest possible manner? And, you know, like Vegas, all the bells and whistles of Vegas shouldn't have been in play. And Edmonton always made more sense because it seemed like it was the best possible situation on a Western city to pull this thing off in a compact, tight manner.
Totally. You know, I was texting with a player last week when it was announced, or when it reported and leaked out, that Edmonton was going to be chosen instead of Vegas. And I'm like, you know, Edmonton's not exactly Vegas. Do you think some players are going to opt out because of that? And he quickly quashed that down and said, look, I don't think anyone had the expectations that we were going to be walking around the Cosmo and playing cards. Like, we understand we were there for a specific purpose, and that's to play hockey. You know, when it comes down to Vegas, the reason the NHL liked it is they thought they could create a really good bubble environment. They liked the fact that players could stay at the Park MGM, which is right by T-Mobile Arena. They could section off that plaza right side of T-Mobile Arena. If you've ever been there, that would have been all NHL property. Nobody else could go in. They felt like it was really good and secure. That said, what we've seen from the proposals from Edmonton and Toronto, and I expect to be, especially in Edmonton, where it's a campus environment, they're really hoping that they can section these guys off from society. And one of the reasons they got both of those provinces to waive the mandatory 14-day quarantine period for entering the country is because they essentially convinced them when they come here, they're going to be quarantined. They're not going to be interacting with anybody else besides the NHL bubble. So, I do think in a sense it doesn't really matter where they go, but for whatever reason, this became like the sweepstakes. It felt like The Bachelor just because there was all these contenders and they were getting plucked off one by one. So it kind of became a reality TV show vibe.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. I feel like that has been how a lot of the return to play for basically all of the leagues have felt, the reality TV show vibe. I totally agree, Emily. I wanted to ask a little bit about the CBA negotiations that have been going on, and I know they haven't necessarily been ratified yet, but still, we've heard a lot about what the potential negotiations and the CBA itself will include, and I feel like if there's anything from the NHL that I suppose rolls right along with what 2020 has been so far, it's that a season that was scattered by the pandemic now will likely result in the return of the NHL to the Olympics, which I think is just a crazy confluence of different factors. And I know people up here are excited, Emily, because it means the prospect of seeing players like McDavid and Crosby, McKinnon play together. But I imagine fans of Team USA will be excited to see players like Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel play together as well.
For sure. And to be honest, I think it's even bigger for the non-diehard NHL fans here in America. You know, like TJ Oshie would not have been a household name if it wasn't for his heroics in the Sochi Olympics. Like, a lot of people don't follow the NHL closely, but when it comes to the Olympics, we love following our country. We love Olympic hockey, and this is where stars are born. And to be quite frank, we've got some incredible American talent right now that's young and exciting, and a lot of them are on Canadian teams. You've got Austin Matthews who's playing in Toronto. We don't get him on TV that much over here. Johnny Gaudreau in Calgary, Brock Besser in Vancouver, the Tkachuk brothers. Like, you could go on and on about all these American guys, Quinn Hughes. So I think it's really exciting for the general hockey fan who will be able to be introduced to these guys for the first time.
How much do you think that the Olympics, as expected, will be in Beijing in 2022, made it more feasible to include participation? I'm sure it was going to be a big sticking point either way, but the NHL knows that China is a big-time market, and they've been trying to make inroads with the game in that country, preseason games, etc. Like, if it was Milan and another city, do you think it's maybe likelier that it would have been more difficult or a taller task to get participation in the Olympics as part of a ratified, modified CBA?
You know, it's hard to say. Like, the NHL has taken such a hardline stance since 2018 that they feel it doesn't behoove them to disrupt their season and potentially risk injury for players going over there. They didn't like having to front the cost for insurance. They felt like they didn't get marketing benefits out of it. But everyone who listened to the NHL say these things were like, that's such a narrow point of view. You have to think globally. And, you know, deep down inside, I do feel like the NHL understood that it is better for hockey to go to the Olympics. And really what this is just a negotiation, and this is what negotiations are. You ask NHL players, the two biggest issues with the league right now are escrow and the fact they can't go to the Olympics. They're negotiating right now. The NHL wasn't willing to restructure their entire financial structure and say, hey, we're going to get rid of escrow. But they were able to do some give and take, and one of the things they were able to give the players was the Olympics.
Yeah, I feel like the escrow issue has been one that has stuck around for a long time. And have you heard anything from, you mentioned you were texting with some players. Have you heard anything when it comes to how they feel that the CBA negotiations have gone in favor of escrow? Because that's something that I feel like we've been talking about for years and years. And it doesn't seem like, it didn't feel like it was going to change. But then I saw some tweets from our own insider, like Elliot Friedman and other guys as well, who say that they seem to have made significant progress when it comes to the issue of escrow as it pertains to the players.
Yeah, you know, the escrow on player salaries are expected to be capped, which is kind of a win for them. I think what it comes down to is players understand they agreed to this escrow system years ago, and it's going to be really hard to overturn the entire thing. Owners really like it, and it's worked for the NHL to this point because the league has grown financially with visibility. While they have gotten some improvements, I think they realize it's going to take a long time and a lot for them to completely flip it on its head. So just to get little minor victories like this is a win.
I was curious what your thoughts are on if the cap is likely to stay flat here for a couple of years and not rise for potentially three or four years. What kind of impact do you think that's going to have on free agents, whether it's Alex Pietrangelo or Taylor Hall or Zach Hyman coming up here in Toronto in a couple of years, kind of that middle class type of player? Do you think overall everyone is going to get squeezed a little bit, or will it be more of that third line, maybe second or third pair defenseman who suffers more than the Pietrangelos or the Halls of the world?
You know, I think there's going to be one trend that affects everyone, whether it is the third liners or those big stars, like you said, and it's going to be everyone is taking short-term deals for the time being. Teams probably don't have the appetite. Maybe they do to have long-term deals and lock guys in at a low price. Guys don't want to take those long-term deals because, hey, you know that, you know, the salary cap is flat for the next few seasons until we can get HRR back to where we expected it to be in 2020, 2021. But after that, maybe it'll rise. And why would you want to lock yourself into, you know, a lower cap hit when potentially, you know, the league will be flush by 2024 or 2025 or whenever that might be? So I think the trend we're going to see for everyone is just 1, 2, 3 year deals and nothing, you know, it'd be very rare to see 7 year deals handed out in the next couple of months.
Emily, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you really quickly about the draft lottery and the craziness that went on a couple of weeks ago. I think it made for great television, but the idea of tanking being rewarded, I know there are several schools of thought when it comes to how that should be treated. And I remember you used to cover the NFL for Sports Illustrated, the MMQB, pretty widely, and the worst team gets the top pick in the NFL, and it's as simple as that. But when it comes to the NHL, where do you stand on the idea of tanking and how it should reward the worst teams versus the lottery that it is now?
I think there's no place for tanking in the NHL. I really don't. I don't think it's good for hockey. And therefore, I believe in the draft lottery system because it inherently prevents tanking. And you've got a team like the Detroit Red Wings, I don't think they intentionally tanked. They were just a really bad team, poor constructed. Steve Eisenman's work kind of ahead of him, and they suck, and they can only pick up to fourth. So even if, you know, they tried to tank and tried to suck even more, it wouldn't have bettered their chances to get the number one pick. So I do think it works. I think that obviously we were in a unique situation this year where they could give a number one spot to a team that technically made the postseason, but in general, I think it's a system that's healthy, it works, and it doesn't need a total overhaul or fixing.
Emily, always appreciate you taking some time for us. Always enjoy the conversation. Best to you. Stay safe there, and we'll do this again as hockey gets closer or ramps back up.
Likewise. Same to you guys, and go buy a pack of Sharpies. You won't regret it.